is Davin's Den. Is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you for hanging out on Davin's Den with Joe Pip and me. Davin, been a lot of fun. Joe had a very valid "you stink." We're all on board with the receipts, and everybody had fun making fun of my my future home, my future home, the place where I'm going to bring my family. And they ripped it apart. And Joe actually had a final thought on the break about this whole. This home was so striking, left such an impression with Joe that he's like, I can't stop thinking about it.
I can't stop.
So what did you do?
Because basically, you know, I was looking at it, and I'm like, well, maybe it's like the houses that you see further upstate, the old farmhouses and stuff like, you know. All the old farmhouses that need a lot of work. But the thing about those, it's just one house. This looks like a bunch of houses just crashed into each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
it's a house orgy.
In Europe, what it used to do is they used to have little houses. And as the farmer or whomever made more money, they would add on to it. So the houses
that's what it's like.
Tend to look like
yeah,
that.
Like
in 100 years, let's add another portion.
You know what this house is like for kids who grew up in the 80s? This is kind of like the Voltron of houses. Now, if you don't know what Voltron was, there was two different versions of Voltron. One was the lions, five lions, mechanical lions, and the other was like 32 cars. But what both Voltrons had in common is... they would form to fight like monsters. One bigger, huge robot. So there'd be like five lines that would form this huge robot, Voltron. That's what this house is. They're a bunch of little houses that came together to form one monster house.
Yes, yes, but they're like decrepit Voltrons.
Voltron let himself go.
But what the house looks like is like let's say some 12-year-old was planning on building a fort in the woods, and the guy got a hold of the plan and built a house from it. Yeah,
sure.
Yes.
It's a big old fort. And nobody will invade us because we're taking away the stairs from this entrance.
Yeah.
There used to be these steakhouses called Rustler.
I remember Rustler.
Remember Rustler? And there was one in Bergenfield. And the thing
Bergenfield
is
known for having the finest of cuisines.
My
hometown.
Yeah, yes.
And the way the architecture, I use that term loosely, of Rustler Restaurant looked like an old Western town crammed together on the outside. And so each section of the outside looked like a different, like, general store or something. And so there were different colors and there were different, like, porches and stuff. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's a Rustler restaurant.
The last Rustler's barely standing.
I go, where the hell is he moving to? Wild West City?
So, alas.
That was a trough for the horses to drink out of, too.
Alas, I shan't be moving there.
Good.
Still a little too much work. All right.
Hey, look at the bright side. There's a bank somewhere trying to sell that place.
Yeah, not my problem. Speaking of places where I won't be moving, let's talk about Texas. Texas has been, howdy. Oh, howdy.
Outdoing themselves.
Yeah, Texas being Texas. You know, here we have another governor in Texas who is signing off on all this, I would say, crazy shit in hopes of becoming president. He doesn't – another guy who really doesn't know us. Like, you, if you want to win, you can't appeal to just the fringes. It's like if AOC ran for president. It's not going to go well. You'll have your supporters and they'll be avid. But there'll be a lot of people go, no, too much, thank you, no.
No.
And that's how you get a Joe Biden.
Yeah.
You know.
That's how you get Mr. Milquetoast, because
yeah.
the people on the way fringes are, like, very frightening to the people on the other side.
Yeah, Donald Trump was batshit crazy, so, like, all right, as I've said time and time again, time for a sitz bath. And now the sitz bath is in the Oval Office. So
yes.
we'll see if he runs again, but who knows? That's for another time. Texas. We got two Texas laws. Texans, if this keeps up, we're going to have to do a segment, Biggest Fool's Texas Man.
Yeah.
Are we Texans can now carry a handgun in public without a permit or background check and training the state previously required. Gun right advocates lauded the new state law called constitutional carry. I guess that means you shoot constitutions at people.
Yeah, absolutely, with a blow dart gun.
Yes. By supporters for removing what they considered an unfair burden on gun owners. Can't we just have our shit now? I want my shit now. But the law, which took effect Wednesday, has its critics. Of course it does. Gun safety groups oppose permitless carry, and many law enforcement officials, including Dallas Police Chief Eddie Garcia and Doug Griffith, the president of the Houston Police Officers Union, have said it would make the job of police officers more dangerous. Still, the state's Republican majority legislature passed the law earlier this summer, and Republican Governor Greg Abbott signed it over the summer. Politicians from the federal law to the local level have threatened to take guns from law-abiding citizens, but we will not let that happen in Texas. But if it snows, we're all fucked, so you're going to have to burn your guns to keep warm, because we don't have infrastructure for that either. We're not working on that shit now. Abbott said in June's statement when he signed the permitless carry bill and six other gun laws, Texas will always be the leader in defending the Second Amendment. And the Second Amendment said, thank you. Thank you so much. Nobody ever defends us. We're so happy. Thank you, Texas.
We've been so lonely.
We've been so neglected. Nobody ever thinks of the Second Amendment. Oh, you're our hero. You with your big, strong guns, you. Texas will always be the leader in defending the Second Amendment, which is why we built a barrier around gun rights in the session, he added. Kind of like guns to protect guns, if you will. We are protecting our guns. Poor, underprotected guns.
Yes.
The legislative session was the first since several mass shootings in Texas, including one in El Paso Walmart, in which a racially motivated gunman killed 23 people. We said, you know what we need? Yeah, more guns. Now the Lone Star State joins a slew of others that have loosened or removed permitting requirements this year. Those states include Iowa, Montana, Wyoming, Utah, because you want armed Mormons, that's what I always say, and Tennessee. The Church of Latter-day Saints and AK-47s, that's what I always say. We can have multiple wives and multiple guns.
And multiple... racks of ammo.
It's an open carry state and an open marriage state. This is my type of state, this Utah. I must get there.
That's great.
Thank you. I say funny things. The new law allows anyone 21 years of age or older to carry a handgun unless they have a violent conviction or are otherwise barred by law. But a background check that might flag such a disqualification is no longer necessary to carry handguns. Most residents were previously required to obtain a license to carry a handgun, according to the Texas Tribune. The process included fingerprinting, 4 to 6 hours of training, a written exam, and a shooting proficiency test. Texans were already allowed to carry rifles in public without a license. So the poll I asked this week, Texas enacted a gun law this week. One of the provisions eliminates the requirement to go through gun training. Should training be required to own a gun? I think it's pretty basic.
Yeah.
I think most reasonable gun owners say, yeah, you should some sort of training. 100% of people said yes.
Yes.
100% of people said yes. We should have at least training.
Please.
I didn't want to attack the whole law because then it gets all sort of way. Yeah. But training. We're talking about training. We're talking about training.
Could you at least know how to use that thing? Please.
No, that's an unfair barrier to the gun.
Oh, God.
So I believe if you're going to use any new tool or go on any new endeavor, whether it be spelunking or shooting or driving a car or cooking. Or you know, even parenting. You know, there are classes that can help and make this better. I feel gun classes are important. I think training's important. Do you agree, Pip?
Absolutely. I mean, we have to get our driver's license because there's a big, potentially dangerous machine that we're
sitting in. Difference is it's not a constitutional right to drive.
I understand that, but it's a potentially dangerous thing that you're set loose with, and it's like, could you at least know how to use it?
But I don't need lessons to use my knife.
Guns are different. They're totally different. You know, you don't have knife galleries. let me see if I can properly.
You can throw axes now. You have axe galleries.
But that's different.
Joe, do you think there should be some training for getting your gun?
Yeah, you got to hear me out on this. This is a little bit to this.
Okay.
All right. How come I'm hearing feedback?
I am not hearing feedback.
All right.
For a change.
Right. But anyway, they're basing this on the Second Amendment. The right to bear arms should not be infringed. They probably feel that wanting to have a background check or wanting to be trained, requiring being trained using a gun is infringing on a constitutional right.
Yes.
That being said, it is something that could will have lethal force. You should be required to learn how to use it properly. And I believe there should be a background check on it. So I think
the gun people would say, well, there's still a federal background check. And there's like background checks you have to get, or you had to get them in certain areas. Like if you had it at a gun show, maybe you had to have a background check. But if it was like if you were just getting it from somebody who was private, you didn't have to do a background check. There's all these different loopholes in this.
Yeah.
But I think background checks. I think there should always be a background check, even if somebody's inheriting a gun. And you think, all right, you're inheriting a gun from grandpapa, should still be a background check. But okay, yeah. So we're not saying you can't own guns.
We're just saying, please don't hand it to the homicidal lunatic or somebody who has no idea how to use it.
And
when I was a kid, I learned, in the Boy Scouts, on my brother's farm, and at Anthony's dad's ranch, gun safety is paramount to everything. You need to learn the gun, learn to use it with respect. And for Texas, just to hand out guns without training, I think is stupid. Just to pander to the NRA. Now, look, I'm a gun rights advocate. I'm pro NRA, but I think they're being foolhardy with this right now.
You know, part of gun safety is learning how to properly store a gun.
Yeah,
I mean, telling somebody the difference between a proper gun locker and putting it in your nightstand. That's so important.
How many terrible stories do we have to read about some toddler who got a hold of a improperly stored gun?
Well. You don't have to read any of them. You choose to.
No, but I mean,
I'm not going kids. We're going to read all the stories about kids shooting themselves this week or shooting their sibling. That's not, don't blame me.
No.
That's your little thing.
No, I love to read that. Yes. No, I'm just saying.
Nobody loves dead kids more than Pip.
God, no.
Maybe somebody does. I apologize.
Yes, don't put me at the top of the heap of babies. What? No.
Pipta belongs underneath the heap of babies.
I'm just saying that, people can be really stupid. And it's like this, there are just tragedies that happen when people are not really exercising gun safety and not trained. It's a little nuts that you could give somebody something like that. And the fact that they don't want background checks when we've seen... How many more, people, going into public places shooting everybody do we need?
19.
19 more?
That's the number.
Okay.
19 more. I do find it interesting, though, that you were already allowed to carry a rifle in public without a permit, but you couldn't with a handgun.
That's a little crazy.
I don't know why one got...
You really can't conceal a rifle. And most people have it on their gun rack, in the back of their truck. So, that's kind of like carrying it out in display. So, if you're upstate and you have a gun, like upstate New York, way upstate, and you have your gun in a gun rack, the cop will pull you over, will talk about what gauge it is and, where the best deal. You do that here, they got a helicopter chasing you,
Yeah, well, I got to be honest. I don't need you walking into Starbucks with your rifle. I get it. You have a small dick. Listen, if you're going hunting and you have it with you, that's fine.
And you're walking down the trail and you have your gun with you, but you're going into the Cumberland Farms with a fucking rifle?
I think that's what they mean. I don't think people are walking around like Walker, Texas Ranger with
them. No, well, there are people that do that. And they go, well, that way if shit comes down, I'll be ready. All right, militia, settle down.
But there are also some things like the permit requirements in states, including Iowa, Montana, Wyoming, and Tennessee. Pretty more prevalent in Montana and Wyoming, where you're pretty much raised with guns around you since an early age, and gun safety is pretty much taught then. So I don't understand there, But still, you really need to understand how to properly handle a gun, anywhere from shooting to storage to cleaning. Many people kill themselves because they had a bullet chambered in the gun. They didn't realize it. So it's very important to get trained on these things. You know,
well, they've even done away with the proficiency test. Why don't we want people who can shoot well? I don't know. How does that infringe upon the Second Amendment? We want you to have a gun. You can have a gun, but we want you to be good with it. We don't want you like killing a bunch of innocent people in a hail of fire because you never bothered to shoot it. You know, there should be.
Yeah, right. You kill five people because you're getting the hang of the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. But, I mean, like, for instance, you'll see, like, kids who, like, watch rap or whatever, or some of these movies, and they'll, instead of holding a gun, and I'm, you know, my thumb is straight up and my pointer finger is out, which is, like, the proper way to hold a gun. You'll see they'll tilt the gun.
Because it looks gangster
because they see it in movies. But you have very little aim when you do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So you could easily imagine kids, now they don't have to take a proficiency test. There's no training required. They just all have their guns like they're badasses. We don't need that. That's a problem.
We have somebody in the chat, William Sanchez.
Hello, William Sanchez.
Who says, stop ban guns and the annoying orange and magazines with guns and violence video games with guns.
Well, stop video games with guns?
I guess that's what he's saying.
I mean, I don't know. I gotta tell you, I used to play Mario Brothers. I never wanted to be a plumber, and I never had I never had the urge to get high on mushrooms.
Well, he also misses Donald Trump, and he wants to know why we're talking about Hitler.
Well, stick around because there's a new 4-part documentary.
Trust me, Will.
You'll see why.
When you hear about Hitler, you're going to laugh.
A little tease. There's a 4-part documentary on Hitler's sex life.
Yeah, apparently, the Fuhrer was a randy boy.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not comparing Hitler to any current politicians. Although with some of the kink, maybe you can. But that's just going to be a kinky free for all.
What do you know?
I know plenty of things. but yes. So we're not even really talking about Donald Trump tonight.
No.
We don't really talk about him much anymore.
I think he just needed
to... Because he's been out of office 8 months to it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's still doing batshit stuff and, you know, whatever. And his son is still saying crazy things. But he's not a newsmaker anymore.
I think he just needed to express that.
Okay. Well, listen, he's more than welcome to love Donald Trump.
Yep.
I don't care. Have at it.
Sorry you miss your pal.
Well, he's still around. You know, play around the golf with him.
Yeah.
Go to Bedminster in Jersey. Go to Florida. He's got golf courses all over the place.
He could visit.
Go to one in Scotland. Nobody goes to that fucking shithole, apparently. Uh-huh. He would welcome it.
The Scottish people hate him for
that. Scottish people hate him, and when he was in office, they made Pence stay there 2.5 hours away, flying back and forth across the country just to give that place some business. So if you really love Donald Trump, go to the Scottish golf resort. It needs the business, apparently.
Right.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Welcome to the show, Mr. Sanchez. All right, snitches get 10 large. The Supreme Court, Pippa's already rolling her eyes. Pip's ovaries are drying up, and we haven't even gotten into the story yet.
Hysterical.
They're on fire.
Pip has hot eggs right now.
I do. They're roasting.
Pip has omelets in her bowels.
I'm making popcorn over here.
Well, that's not eggs. Those are from corn.
Yeah, I know. It's corn, but...
That's probably why you don't have any kids. You don't know the basic anatomy. Just saying.
It's like I'm making corn kernels. Nobody
wants your buttered.
Never mind.
Hot.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. Sure. Okay. The Supreme Court formally denied a request from Tennessee abortion providers to freeze a state law that bars abortions after 6 weeks. Chief Justice John Roberts joined the three liberal justices in dissent. The court's move means that the law, which is one of the strictest in the nation and bans abortion before many people know they are pregnant, will remain on the books, which is why you need to come on a thigh. The law allows private citizens to bring civil suits against anyone who assists a pregnant person seeking an abortion in violation of the bond. Excuse me? Can you tell me the way to where they have the rusty hangers? I want to get it out. I can tell you. And they go, aha!
Ah!
That'll be 10 large right there. You told them where the rusty hangers are.
Oh,
gonna get you. Gonna get you. In an unsigned opinion, the majority wrote that while the clinic had raised serious questions regarding the constitutionality of the Texas law, they had not met the burden that would allow the court to block it at this time due to complex and novel procedural questions. Hey, We're the Supreme Court. You can't expect us to answer complex procedural questions now. Who do you think we are? The highest court in the land?
We're not even sure which hole it goes in.
Listen, we're here because we get to wear long robes and no underwear. Everything else, you know, listen.
Whatever happens, happens.
Listen, we're just here to party. Since Gorsuch has been here, it's a party a minute.
It's worth the hearing.
Not Gorsuch. Who was the other one? The one that you hated.
Oh.
Drunky McDrunkerson.
I'm picturing his face.
Who is Trump's number two, Joe? Drunky McDrunkerson. Who was the second one?
Beer.
Squee.
Gorsuch.
No, Gorsuch was the first one.
No.
I can't.
It starts with a K.
We have
damn
no
it.
Criminal.
God.
Kavanaugh. Judge Kavanaugh. All right, yes. Since Kavanaugh got there, the Supreme Court's been partying. Anyway, the majority stressed that it had not formed a conclusion about the constitutionality of the law, despite the order coming nearly 24 hours after the law, the tightest abortion restrictions since the 1973 landmark Roe v. Wade took effect. In particular, this order is not based on any conclusion about the constitutionality of Texas's law, and in no way limits other procedurally proper challenges to the Texas law, including Texas state courts, the majority wrote. There were several dissents, including in one, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, joined by her two liberal colleagues called the shrinking minority, called the majority's order stunning. Presented with an application to enjoin a flagrantly unconstitutional law engineered to prohibit women from exercising their constitutional rights and evade judicial scrutiny, a majority of justices have opted to bury their heads in their sand, Sotomayor wrote. No federal appellate court has upheld such a comprehensive prohibition on abortions before a viability under current law. Taken together, the act is a breathtaking act of defiance of the Constitution, of this court's precedents, and of the rights of women seeking abortions throughout Texas. Under normal circumstances, a dissenting justice respectfully dissents, but Sotomayor was bitchy and simply wrote, "I dissent."
Bitchy?
She was having a day, Pip.
Bitchy?
She was bitchy.
No.
I am not in the mood to respectfully dissent. I dissent. And gave her two snaps and huffed away.
No respect about this because you're not showing us any respect.
Well, we're going to enact the law. Go ahead. Do what you want.
The court should not be so content to ignore its constitutional obligations to protect not only the rights of women, but also the sanctity of its precedents of the rule of law. And he said, fuck, bitch, it's summer. We're on summer break. Don't make us do law-y shit right now. We're on a break like Ross and Rachel. What's the problem?
Oh, all this sneaky bullshit.
I'm on a break.
Oh, I don't care.
We were on a break.
Work.
Work. Justice Stephen Breyer, who the liberals want to get out because he's old and they need to replace him, also admitted that respectfully from his dissent, I'm with the Spanish chick. What, no Pip?
No.
No. Pip's all fired up tonight.
Yeah, I'm with the Spanish Breyer.
She's all full of Pip and vinegar.
Yeah.
After it took effect early Wednesday morning, clinics across Texas drastically limited their services. You could no longer get oil changes. Whole Women's Health, which operates four clinics in Texas, said, close your hole. Said it is offering abortion services only if no embryonic or fetal cardiac activity is detected in the sonogram, according to a spokesperson, and several other providers also are taking that limited approach. Robert said that he voted to block the law for now to give the court more time to consider the unusual statute. Unusual!
Unusual.
It's unusual. Robert said that the state legislature had imposed a prohibition on abortions after roughly 6 weeks and then essentially delegated enforcement of that prohibition to the populace at large. Why, thank you. I'm glad somebody is giving me some responsibility here. I can't just be an Uber driver alone. I need some more responsibilities. DoorDash and abortion snitch. That's what it says on the business card.
Ugh.
What, no?
No, that's what it says on...
What? I'm delivering your McDonald's and I'm ratting bitches out. That's what I do.
Well, anybody that asks for extra pickles, you're like immediately suspicious.
Listen, if you didn't have an extra pickle, maybe you wouldn't need an abortion right now.
Oh, I see what you did there.
You see what I did there?
I see what you did there.
With your vacuous onion ring? No. The law was designed to make it much more difficult to bring pre-enforcement challenge because there are not the usual government officials to hold accountable. No, it's Jeb! You hold Jeb accountable. The government can't be bothered with enforcing laws. It's Jeb's turn.
Oh,
the law allows any person. Me? Me?
Me?
You! The law allows us. We're almost people. As long as they're not a government official. You can do it now. to bring a civil. That's why you left the other job. You were waiting for this law. Pip wants to be a professional snitch.
Mama needs some new shoes.
And with this law, you can buy many new shoes. To bring a civil. Can you imagine? Let me get in that womb. Let me see what's going on there, woman. Nothing there but a high school ring. To bring civil lawsuit in state court against the provider accused
that's
of violating. That's
where that went.
Accused of violating the ban. Regardless of whether the person bringing the lawsuit has any connection to the abortion being sought. Just hanging out at abortion clinics, just smoking. Say, I see you. If they prevail, they are entitled to at least $10,000 in damages. You know what you did to me. You hurt me on a level you can't comprehend. And the law is structured to make it especially costly for clinics that are targeted with an enforcement action. It prohibits clinics from recouping attorney's fees from their court fees. Even a judge sides, even if the judge sides with the provider in the lawsuit, you were right, but you can't do nothing about it. The measure also prevents clinics from seeking to transfer the cases to venues more convenient for them unless they have agreement of their opponents. So a lot of times you'll see try to have it at a place closer to home to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
President Joe Biden on Thursday was roused from his slumber, called the law's novel enforcement structure a bizarre scheme with the potential to unleash unconstitutional chaos. Complete strangers will now be empowered to inject themselves after this woman has already been injected in the most private, in her private and personal health decision faced by the woman. He then huffed off and said, "Where am I going now?" Where are we going now? Where's Kamala? I haven't seen that wench in months.
Where are my keys?
where am I? I want to drive. And then Jill gave him some num-nums and they were whisked away. Biden said he was launching a whole of government. I'm one up him. I will launch a government toll. Joe would say that hole might be AOC, but I will not entertain that. The liberal darling, I will not let Joe have his verbal way with AOC.
I can't believe a hole came up in this.
Well, it was a great band, Courtney Love. Good band.
It was.
Effort to respond to the law, taking the Department of Health and the Human Services and the Justice Department and the League of Nations to see what happens, that's not in there. Federal government can take to ensure that women in Texas have access to safe and legal abortions. And until then, we're providing free burkas. But by letting the law take effect, the conservative majority may already have tipped its hand on whether it's poised to reverse or at least undercut Roe versus Wade, the ruling that declared women's constitutional right to end a pregnancy. Roberts' dissent likely signals the divisions to come. All alone among the conservatives, Chief Justice Roberts calls out the Texas law for what it is, a transparent attempt not just to undermine Roe, but to make it hard for such a restriction to be blocked, said Steve Vladek, a CNN Supreme Court analyst, because Jeffrey Toobin was playing with himself again and we couldn't get his opinion.
Jesus.
Lubin with Tubin.
Listen, I'm nice. I'm glad he's back. You know what? I want a little fucking constitutional law with a little lube. That's what I like. It's a pretty powerful sign that he at least is not ready to overrule Roe, Vladek added. But the million-dollar question that the 5-4 vote raises is whether, when the time comes, any of the conservative judges will join him. Key conservatives such as Justice Clarence Thomas was also roused from his slumber, where he was like, "No, I never did anything to a woman. What's that Anita woman you're talking about?" Have not been shy in the past to vociferously express their opinion on the court's abortion docket. But he does like to have women look at porn. In 2019, Thomas, who has publicly said Roe was wrongly decided, declared that abortion jurisprudence has spiraled out of control. And last year, Justice Neil Gorsuch did not mince his words about the court and abortion, saying, "We have lost our way." Through the fallopian tube, stupid. All three of the President Donald Trump's appointees, Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett, voted with the majority to let the Texas law remain in effect. Here was the poll. The poll for the people. Texas abortion law allows private citizens to bring civil suits against anyone who assists a pregnant person seeking an abortion. The plaintiff can receive $10,000 from the defendant. Do you agree with this? That's what I put out there to the people.
Right.
I didn't want their opinions on abortion. Right. It's a separate. I'm not having that conversation.
Right.
Do you agree? The plaintiff can receive $100,000. Do you agree with this law? 100%, 0% said yes, they agree with it. 100% said, nah, it's a bridge too far. All right, let's break this down. First of all, 6 weeks is ridiculous. It's called missing a period. Plenty of women are irregular. Like, women, they'll get their period every 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks. They don't know. They don't know. So it's a very unreasonable thing.
Completely unreasonable.
You know who likes this law? The pregnancy test industry. Invest in pregnancy tests.
Right.
I mean, because like every time you fuck a guy. And you know who's not going to like this law? Guys. Because you know what? You're going to have to wear more condoms. Because the women don't want to mess around with this shit. So you forget about raw dogging kids. Raw dogging kids. Those days are over in Texas. You can no longer raw dog in Texas. I hope you're happy, Supreme Court and Texas legislature. You've taken all the fun. The rhythm method is now verboten.
Oh, yeah.
So let me ask you a question. A woman doesn't know she's pregnant for a month and a half?
Sometimes, yeah, quite often.
As the reigning vagina American of the show, periods don't always come every 28 days like clockwork. There are so many things that can interrupt that.
Yes. And medication you're on.
Stress.
Hormones you've taken.
Being underweight.
Yeah.
A lot of health conditions. There are so many things that can play with the normal schedule. So 6 weeks is way too fine of a balance.
So what this means to you is you can't schedule the bitchiness. You never know. You never know when bitchiness is going to sneak up on you.
It could come out of nowhere.
Bitchiness could come in any time. See?
Sorry.
And that story's been closed for years.
Nene, I don't want to go into the whole internal scenario.
You haven't been able to have kids for years.
No, I know, but
that's what I'm talking about.
I didn't have everything pulled out, is what I'm saying.
When was the last time you could have kids? How many years ago?
But that doesn't mean I'm not hormonal.
I know. I said your store, not you being a whore. What the fuck is the problem with you?
No.
The store is closed. You're talking
about moodiness.
Talk about being hormonal. Holy shit.
I'm not talking about moodiness.
Don't you start with me, Joe.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No.
You know what? Take your vagina and go. I've had enough.
No. It's here front and center, especially for this conversation.
Oh, that's a vagina I like. I like a front and center vagina. A vagina that demands to be counted.
These witch hunting motherfuckers. Yeah.
Biggest witch hunt. Biggest witch hunt.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable that they want to be so up in women's business. It's all about control. It has nothing to do with embryos.
It's kind of crazy.
Well, it's all about pandering to the religious right is what they're doing. They're trying to stick with their base on this.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But this law is unpopular in Texas.
Now,
what's interesting, though, is, again, forgetting about the abortion aspect, whether you're pro-life, pro-choice, whatever. I'm not even really dealing with that in tonight's conversation. But traditionally, if you to go before a court, you need to have what they call standing. You need to be an interested party. If you're bringing a lawsuit, or in the state's case, you're charging somebody, you need to be an interested party. I hear there was a robbery. Well, why are you here? Because they stole from me, stupid. It was my shit they stole. And the government has a vested interest in keeping criminals off the streets. So the government has the standing, and you would have your standing in the civil suit, for instance. Just to use a loose analogy. I have trouble to understand how somebody who's not affiliated with the woman having the abortion or the clinic or all, how they have any standing. And I think these are the procedural issues that the court didn't want to deal with. And Sotomayor is like, are you fucking serious? How does Jebediah have standing over a stranger's abortion? Or think about it, assisting. What does that mean? Does that mean, because like Uber and Lyft have now said, you sue our drivers, we're going to pay for it. And we're donating to, what's the one that helps the women?
Planned Parenthood.
We're donating $1 million to Planned Parenthood. They're not putting up with it. It makes no sense.
No, and what are you going to do? You're going to be tracking people. Planned Parenthood, we've gone over this before, but Planned Parenthood has so many other programs, especially for poor women, for their health, and it's not always the majority of the work that they do there are not abortions, but when you're attacking Planned Parenthood, you're attacking family planning and women's health rights. You're when you're going after women being able to have abortions or not have abortions, there are a lot of reasons, personal reasons, why women choose that, and it's nobody's goddamn business. And Mr. Kravitz down the street is going to get a stake through the eye if he's going to come up and try to say, oh, I see what you're doing. You're going to die.
Okay, back to the law. Now the Pip is on her soapbox looking around, surveilling the situation. Back to the law. It's a very vague law. What does assist mean? Say, hypothetically, Pip wants to get an abortion. We're talking on the phone. You know, I need to get an abortion. I don't know where to go. All right, you know, I'm talking to her. I'm your friend. All right, let me Google it for you. Hey, Pip, you can go here for an abortion. This place has 4 stars on Yelp. Lovely abortions. Danish is when you leave.
Wait a minute. Ooh.
Abortions out the yin-yang, if you will.
And Danishes.
Yeah, so now technically, I have assisted Pip in getting her abortion.
I wonder if that fits under that.
Right, it's such a vague law.
So vague. And, it sounds like what they're trying to say, when they say
they're
assist.
They're trying to scare you.
Well, they are. And that language, I would imagine that the doctor's performing.
Can I just stop everybody for one second?
Sure.
I just want to get an understanding of that. Did the Supreme Court not really want to rule on it because the law is so vague?
No, the Supreme Court says, I understand what you're saying, but there's not a case before us. Right. There has to be a case. So if somebody turned me in.
Yeah.
Turned me in for assisting Pip to get an abortion, mm-hmm. and I brought it up to the Supreme Court. I went all through all the courts. Now the Supreme Court can weigh in because it has a case before it. Mm-hmm. There's not a case before it yet because this law
hasn't been challenged.
It hasn't been challenged yet. And Justice Sotomayor and Breyer are like, are you fucking kidding me? This is so unconstitutional.
Right.
So ridiculous. It's already been ruled on Roe versus Wade. What possible standing could somebody who's not affiliated have? Like, you can make an argument if my uncle turns somebody in, you know, they have a vested interest. But that's not what this law says.
No.
So that's what it's very It's very broad.
You said broad.
I did say. Now here's the thing that right wing scholars are nervous about, because the right wing doesn't want to talk about this either. Because what the right wing is saying, you're going to let the legislation do this shit? What's to stop, say, California or New York, blue states, to say, you know what, we're going to do something with guns. I see you with a gun. You can't have a gun. Boom. You lose your gun rights.
And I get paid $10,000 to snitch on you.
They're envisioning the worst case. Because before, what standing do I have if you have a gun or not, and you're not pointing it at me or not menacing anybody in my area? I got no fucking standing. It's
they're promoting vigilanteism.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what they are doing.
You know? Yeah. And witch hunts don't only come after odd women, you know? Witch hunts.
No, they come after big orange men, too, I've been told. The biggest witch hunt in history. Even bigger than the ones in Salem, if you ask a certain gentleman. I always got a kid. Biggest witch hunt in history. I always go, well, what about Salem?
Yeah.
I think Bernie. Nobody's burning
people at the stake.
It's not the biggest. I understand why you don't like it, but it's not the biggest.
Not the biggest.
Not the biggest.
There wasn't any burning.
So one of the criticisms is that the law, and you kind of touched on this, it really affects only the poor. Because somebody who has money has means to go to another state where you could get an abortion. So what this is going to do is the poor are going to be forced. Who's going to care for these kids? What we're probably going to do, you're going to go back to a return of the back alleys.
Yep.
and wire hangers.
Absolutely.
Because these people will be desperate. Also, there was no carve out like we've seen in other laws for rape victims, incest victims. Like, no, after 6 weeks, you're having that bastard child. We don't give a shit.
Terrible disabilities.
This is kind of like Handmaid's Tale.
It is.
Which is not a pleasant show.
No.
Pip and I watch it. We enjoy it, but not really.
But it's like painful to watch.
Yeah,
but
it's kind of like this show.
It's like taking your vitamins by eating a lot of spinach and kale.
Yeah, not
you know, if you don't
not having the Flintstones chewable.
No,
which are delicious.
No, but I mean, I'm really angry at this attack on women. So I mean,
you,
I know,
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I know. You know, but the thing is that even though, you know, I'm boiling over, it's not irrational. It's completely rational, because we have seen time and time again throughout history that the perceived underclass has been attacked by the ruling class, and poor people and women are going to suffer under these rules. Families will suffer because women sometimes have to get abortions.
Hold on. I brought up how men are going to suffer too at the top.
Oh, yeah, well, oh, Yeah, I know that they're going to have to wear rubbers. Oh.
You know what? No. You know, if you want to make allies, that's not a way to do them. This is a real fucking... Because you know what? Women like the feel of real cock, too.
Oh, so, yeah, I know. All right.
So now I have a latex allergy. Well, you're shit out of luck now, aren't you, sweetie? And, you know, maybe we would have taken it more seriously, but Pip mocked, and now you have no longer allies. So you're doing a horrible fucking job for this.
You know, this also could positively affect the Democratic base. Hear me out. Let's go talk about the poor. You're poor, you don't have the means, you wind up having a baby. You go on assistance to help with the child. The child realizes that government assistance helped them out. Who helped them out? The Democrats. Which means when that child is of voting age, they're going to be a registered Democrat. So in that way, and the way the Democrats, the party has always utilized the poor to their advantage, this could be a side effect of this.
No, you're right. The Democrats, listen, they're upset by this law, but they say thank you. They say thank you for motivating the base. That's why the Republicans are like, we don't want to talk about this shit.
Like, are you nuts? That stirs them all up. Listen to how mad Pip got.
All right, but let me break down what Texas is up to in the past month or so. Let me break down what and the type of logical dissonance you need to have to understand Texas.
Go for it.
So we now have a state that, in the name of personal freedom, will not allow school boards to invoke mask mandates to protect children. They won't allow that, but will now willingly take away the rights of women to protect things that are at 6 weeks are not really children, because they're not viable. Wherever you say it's a child, at 7 weeks, it's not. You can't take it out.
It's a group of cells.
They're not. Hold on, let me get through this. Also, in the name of the Constitution, they will do anything to protect the Second Amendment, but are willing to disregard the Constitution when it comes to women's personal choices. So this is the Republican Party now is real, can only be the party for the brain damage. Because if you have any, I don't mean to be mocking, but the Texas Republican Party can only be a party for the brain damage. Because if you have any logic, any through line, it makes are we personal freedoms or not? Because if we're personal freedoms and you can't wear masks, then you can't be touching on the womb.
Right.
You got to remember, it's politics, okay? I don't agree with it, but it's politics, okay? They are cozying up with the NRA and the gun rights advocates.
The NRA is bankrupt. The NRA is bankrupt.
Okay. Then we'll leave the NRA out of it. I am doing an assessment of this, okay? These are not my feelings. I'm doing an assessment of this, so keep your fangs in your face, okay?
No. They're detractable fangs, and these are the times I like to detract.
All right, but just, you know, Joe Friend.
I don't believe him. Pip, get him. he's looking at me. You get him.
But they're pandering. They're pandering to the religious right, and they're pandering to the gun rights advocates. So as complex as it looks, it's a simple answer. They're playing politics.
No, I understand, Joe. It's just so superficial, which is why I can't take them. Oh, we're for personal freedom and rights. No, you're not. Which is why I can never take the Republican Party seriously. We've had this conversation for as long as you and I have been friends. I can't take that party seriously. Because if you were about personal rights, and you go, you know what? I don't want you making kids wear masks. I don't want the school boards making wear masks. And you can't do that to women. I go, all right, there's a thread line. I might not agree with it. I might say, well, there's some nuance here. But at least I understand where you're coming from. No, this is, Joseph, this is pandering. This is bullshit.
It's cherry picking.
It doesn't work. People see through this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of conservatives go, this is fucking batshit. This makes no. Why are you giving the Democrats are on their heels? You know, Biden's had a lot of bad news. You know, in the first term of the president, we usually take back the House. The left has a very slim majority now, and you're doing this shit. And other states are looking at, like North Dakota, like Governor Noem's like, ooh, let's see if we can do this and make it worse.
Hold my beer.
Hold my tits.
They lost an election, and they got a panda. And like I said, this was my assessment. They lost the election. Maybe they're worried about the 2022 elections, and they're pandering to their base. Is it right? No. Is it bullshit? Yes. Is it politics as usual? You bet your fucking.
Yeah, but the problem is, as politics as usual, and the court didn't do the right thing. That's the problem. The court said all the court had to say is we don't understand how this could possibly be a law because who has standing on its surface?
True.
On its where is the standing? Why do you get to haul Planned Parenthood into court? You have nothing to do with them. You have nothing to do with Jane Smith who got an abortion there. It doesn't affect you at all. You were just loitering in the parking lot and you saw, and now you want to get $10,000 and they got to defend it and they can't recoup costs.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to do it. So we'll see what happens.
Maybe they want, maybe they want a case so they refer to prior case law against the case that's being presented against them. And I'm fucking reaching on that one, but that's the only other.
No, there's no case law where it's the Wild West and vigilante justice. The government is not enforcing the law. That's the quote unquote genius of the law. The government can't put these restrictions on women, but apparently you can. It makes no sense.
It's outrageous in every sense.
But hey, it's not just the right that's batshit crazy and activist.
Uh-huh.
the left has their moments now too.
Oh God, help me!
Oh, well, like I said, the Democrats are like, oh, that's a shame. Good, have your kids. They're going to wind up being Democrats, and we're going to wind up holding our seats forevermore.
Well, speaking of kids, Joe, we have our next story deals with a kid. And I would say an activist judge, in my opinion. So a Chicago mother is appealing a court order that revoked her parental visiting rights because she declined to be vaccinated against the coronavirus. When Rebecca Furlitt, that's a good name for a dirty part. I did her in the Furlitt, now she's got to have an abortion. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
When Bex Furlitt and her ex-husband of 7 years participated in a child support hearing via video call on August 10th for the purpose of determining the terms of shared custody of their 11-year-old son, Cook County Judge James Shapiro inquired about Furlitt's vaccination status. By the way, I saw you on Tinder. Not to get sidetracked. What's your vaccination status? And what's your sign? Virgo? No, you couldn't possibly. You have a kid. That was a stupid question. Anyway, after Furlitt told the judge she did not receive the vaccine because of adverse reactions she had to other vaccines, he ordered her to be stripped of her parental right to visit his son until she's been vaccinated. I think that it's wrong. I think it's dividing families, and I think it's not in my son's best interest to be away from his mother, Furlitt told local Fox affiliate WFLD. And Fox News was all excited to go, oh, finally something we can fucking get the libs on.
Right.
I don't know, but I would imagine they would be.
Sure.
Furlitt, who has spoken with her son on the phone and through video calls, hasn't visited in person in over 2 weeks in compliance with the judge's order. It had nothing to do with what we were talking about, she said, of her vaccination status. He was placing his views on me and taking my son away from me. Furlitt's attorney, Annette Fernholz, said the issue was not within Shapiro's purview.
Fernholz.
You have to understand, the father did not even bring this issue before the court, so it's the judge on his own making this decision, and you can't see your child until you're vaccinated, Fernholz said. Jeffrey Leving, who represents the boy's father, expressed surprise by Shapiro's decision, but said they were supportive. Cool, my guy gets the kid all the time.
He's going to argue it?
Who are we to argue?
What a shame. Yeah.
Look, I'm sure the judge knows best.
Yeah. Well, of course you're going to say that.
He's the one with the robe. He's got the robe. He knows better than we do.
He's got no underpants on, but he's got the robe.
There are children who have died because of COVID. I think every child should be safe, and I agree that the mother should be vaccinated, Leving said. In recent weeks, debates have raged about necessary protocols to prevent transmission of COVID-19 as students throughout the country prepare to return to in-person instruction in the fall. While some states, such as New York, have moved toward mandating masks in schools and implementing vaccine requirements for educators, others, including Florida, go, fuck it, have banned the practices, which their leaders say infringe on personal freedoms, where Texas said, yeah, but when we're talking about wombs, who cares about freedom? Anyway, the United States has experienced more than 38 million cases of COVID-19, with 52% of the population fully vaccinated against the disease, according to the Centers for Disease Control. In my opinion, I think it's more detrimental for a young child to be away from a parent who obviously loves them than COVID-19. Yes, we got to prepare them. We got to protect them from COVID-19. But to deprive this 11-year-old son of his mother's company, mm-hmm. the hug, the kiss, the touch, the cooking of the meals, the going out and doing activities that mothers and sons do, it's a little much. I understand what he's going for. It's a little much.
And this woman is not some anti-vaxxer. The reason she didn't get it is she had adverse reactions to other vaccines.
Joe, we can't take her at a word. We can't take her at a word in a court of law.
The judge overstepped his bounds. And let me tell you something. When I was a kid, my mom and I had to deal with social services. Social services wanted to take me away because I was a latchkey kid, and one of my neighbors was a blabbermouth. When social services came in, they were met by two high-powered lawyers, and they didn't know whether to shit or wind their watch after they got done with them. But nonetheless, that was a very traumatic experience that my mom and I went through. This was serious stuff. And they're putting this poor kid, and I was around this age, this kid. It's a traumatic thing, especially on a vaccine. The mom could wear a mask. She could abide by that, but she's concerned about the way other vaccines affected her. And for this judge to have an outreach on this, to have the child not, you know, have visitation rights with the mother, is wrong.
Yeah, really what the judge said, all right, listen, I understand. I'm going to need a doctor's note for that. But even if she didn't want to get a vaccine, it's really none of his fucking business. Even if she was an anti-vaxxer, it's really none of his business in this matter. But as Joe said, listen, COVID's real. You got to wear – I can't enforce it, but you got to wear a mask. You got to get tested. We all want the best interest of your son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is an activist judge, and this is what makes the right happy. You know, because I'm assuming this judge is a Democrat. I'm assuming this judge is a liberal. So it's just when you go, hey, look, the right's bad shit, the liberals, we're a little bad shit too.
I wouldn't go as far as calling him bad shit, but he's overreaching and putting his own opinions in there.
It's a little bad shit. When you think a kid is better off without a mother who loves him,
yeah.
I mean, she wouldn't be in court if she didn't want to be with him.
No, the idea of wanting people to be vaccinated is not bad shit.
No.
But taking the kid away.
That's bad shit.
Is bad shit.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
I can
see my two nieces that are ultra liberal that would look at this and go, the judge is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, the mom, you know, a boy should see his mom. You know, she'll wear a mask, she'll do this, but she can't take it. This is wrong. We're ultra liberal. I know we don't want to hear anything, but, you know, as mothers, you know, and I'm speaking for them, but I mean, it's a common sense thing that this guy is not using, you know, is doing a knee-jerk reaction on his high horse, his noble high horse, and what he's doing is making an awful situation between this mother. And I love how the husband's defense lawyer, well, you know, the mom should have a vaccine. Of course she did, you prick. Yeah.
Now, you could argue, you know, maybe this woman should consult with her, since this is the hand she's been dealt.
Yeah.
Consult with her doctor. Maybe she should get the vaccine. You could, you know, if you loved your boy, you would get the vaccine. You could make that argument. I don't think it's the best
the
argument.
Doctor testify that she really can't have it because of the adverse reaction that she's had to previous vaccine.
It doesn't seem like this judge is willing to entertain that. I will be interested to see if this goes up for like judicial review,
mm-hmm.
and if this judge is how this judge is dealt with.
It really does seem like. Boy, you brought another issue into this that wasn't what was brought before you, and it seems terribly unfair.
So now, we have seen extreme decisions by legislatures and judges, which is 2/3 of our government. And we don't have to talk about the executive branch, whether it be 45 or 46 or whoever your favorite is or whoever you want to shit on.
Yeah.
I would suggest... our government is seriously broken.
It is
so far out of the mainstream. And this goes back to gerrymandering because they don't have to answer to us anymore. And Joe's been saying it time and time again. They're playing to the extremes. Yes, because you have these heavily gerrymandered districts where nobody has to answer to this shit. And they can make this fakakta legislation. And these fakakta legislators put a lot of times these judges in, or there's election for these judges. It's out of control. And Roberts is to blame for that. Roberts could have done something about the gerrymandering and he decided not to. Forget it. And don't forget all the restrictions now. Texas just signed one in on voting restrictions now where they're making it harder and harder for people to vote.
Yep.
You know, I don't want to talk about the last election, but again, to me, I consider it a success, and the reason I consider it a success, not because the guy who I voted for won, I considered it, and I would still consider it a success if Trump won, just because we had the most people ever who voted. So if Donald Trump was the one with 82 million and Biden had 75 million and we had the most people voted, I would go, all right, you know, it wasn't the result I wanted, But providing everything's on the up and up, this is a success. We had the most people ever participating in our democracy.
Finally.
But we have so many people who don't want that.
Yeah.
Which tells you they know they're on the wrong side of arguments. Like I've said time and time again, if you have the better argument, you want to let the people decide.
Yeah.
If you know you have a fakakta argument and people don't really like it so much, you go, all right, how can we Jimmy rig it? It's like, you know what? It's like the Jets versus everybody else. You know the Jets are going to lose, but maybe the Jets could win if we give them 17 points to start the game. That's what we do. That's what these legislatures do. We're going to get our asses kicked because nobody likes this abortion law. But if we can fix it where people don't really have a say in it, and we have three liberal districts because we make a balloon animal out of it, and eight Republican districts because we make a hen out of it, mm-hmm. then we could do it. It's bullshit. Democracy's not working.
No.
You got activist judges, like, in my opinion, the Chicago judge.
Right.
You got fakakta legislatures, whether it be state or federal. This shit's not working.
No.
And it's our fault because we allow it to happen.
Yeah.
But all right, good. Well, we've all agreed on all the stories so far. It's good. It's good. Very good.
Sorry I yelled at you, Joe.
No, don't be. He had it coming. He had it coming. Let's do some...
Well, I just got one thing to say on the Texas law. They're pretty much bringing the law to the way it was pre-COVID, is from what I understand. They're setting the Texas law.
No.
Yeah.
They do. It's a lot more. It's a lot more than that. And first of all, COVID, that was actually one of the good things about COVID. We figured out a way to get a lot of people to fucking vote. Mm-hmm. It was done illegal. No, Florida, which Donald Trump won, actually had a fucking pretty spectacular way of handling the election. They let people vote early.
Yeah.
I've talked about this before. People were voting for like a month or so early in all different ways. They counted the shit ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, the night of, they had all those tallies. As opposed to these other state legislatures, which wouldn't let them count ahead of time. So then Donald Trump could get up there and make up some bullshit. No, I won on election night. Yeah, but we have all these other people who voted. Florida, of all the fucking states, actually showed the way an election should be done. And Donald Trump won that state. So I'm not saying that because my guy won. I'm like, no, they did it right. That's how you can run an election with allowing as many people to vote as possible and still get somewhat of a result on election night or approximately therein. It can be done.
Well,
we know how to do it.
They never wanted to hear about hanging chads again for
the rest of their days.
So they're like, we got to get this sorted out.
They did it right.
Yeah.
They did it right. There's no reason not to count all the weeks, days, months, however long the functional election is.
So you have subtotals.
Yeah, there's no
going into
that. And then you just have to count which is going to be a smaller number than normal.
That night.
And boom, mm-hmm. 10 o'clock on the East Coast, Florida's in. Donald Trump won. Okay.
Okay.
That's fine.
We have a number.
That's good. I don't need a recount. He won. That seems like they did their shit properly. They had mail in. They had off-site place and everything. Trump won. Okay. I'm not going to cry about it. Mm-hmm. I know Biden was supposed to win that state. They didn't win. It looks like they got their shit together. That's the way elections should work. But again.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
And now it's time for Comics in the Nude. It's a much shorter segment. Over the course of her 20-year career as a stand-up comic, Ellen Karras, hey, we know her, has played all sorts of unlikely venues, from bowling alleys to churches. That's just scratching the surface.
Mm-hmm.
But later this month, she will do a gig... excuse me.
Too much cock.
I can't quit the cock. We'll do a gig at perhaps the last place she ever expected to appear. At least while still alive. Namely, a funeral home. That's right, kids. Comedy in a funeral home. Karras is one of four comedians who will be performing at an August 12th event in New York City's storied Frankie Campbell Funeral Chapel, the place where services for prominent statesmen, socialites, and entertainers have been held for over the decades. But when Karras and others appear, there'll be no memorial tributes of any kind. Well, let's see how the set went.
Oh, do we have clown horns?
What?
Nothing.
This is why you can't have kids. It's just a pure night of stand-up that happens to be at what Karras calls the Tiffany of funeral homes. I wonder how long she had to work on that quote. And Karras says she couldn't be more honored to participate. Honored? Listen, they gave you $100. You're happy to be working. It's fucking summer and it's COVID. It's not fucking. It's not an honor.
And she was honored.
You know what? She didn't get a big trophy.
It's not it's not the Friars Club. It's not Comedy Central.
It's a funeral home.
It's not even the Compound Comedy Tour. It's a funeral. She's as honored as I am when I play an Elks Club.
No, but we love Ellen.
You're very honored when you play the Elks Club.
I'm very honored.
Winkety.
It's all part of a much larger commitment to the community. William Villanova, president of Frank E. Campbell Funeral Home. It's going to be part of my resume, she says. And I say, no. No. That's not part of your resume. That's part of the diner conversation with other comics. What's the most fucked up place you ever played?
Right. Right.
The resume was Comedy Central, HBO, corporate. I did a show for IBM, if that's what I did. Cruise ships. No, hey, get a load of this. I did a funeral home. You know? No.
Yeah, because
I did 45 with the lid up.
Yeah, you know what, the needle scratch on the resume, you know, you what?
Actually, Joe did do 45 with the lid up, and that's why we never heard from Larry D. Felice again. But anyway, and God left our lives, and so did the little devil.
That's
anyway.
Bad.
The Campbell Comedy Show isn't a complete anomaly, however. Funeral homes across the country are increasingly opening the doors for a range of life cycle entertainment and other events, including weddings, concerts, and even the occasional co-op board meeting. Okay. It's all part of a much larger commitment to the community, said Campbell President William Villanova. The funeral home where such bold-faced names as film star Rudolph Valentino, one-time New York Mayor Ed Koch, and comedian Joan Rivers have been eulogized, began hosting entertainment events in 2018, starting with a Christmas concert. More recently, it offered a Broadway-style showcase featuring stage veteran Karen Mason. Villanova adds that the shows are all free and open to the public, including the upcoming comedy one. So the idea isn't about making money, at least in the direct sense. But he says the event's position at the funeral home as a place of comfort and security for local residents in the long run. Let's go to the funeral home.
You know, I got to interrupt for 1 second. My aunt passed away. There was only 12 people allowed in the chapel. We had to wear gloves. Meanwhile, the fucking Rockettes can come through. You know, I don't understand this.
Well, maybe your aunt should have requested them.
I'm really not understanding this either.
And Pip loves the dead.
I do.
For other it's not a lie.
Yeah, please. Can we have our Halloween party there? That sounds great.
You can have your anniversary there.
Yeah, I know.
For other homes, there is a direct payoff in thinking outside the box. Now I guess we're talking about abortions again.
Oh, God. Can we get over the vagina talk already?
I most certainly cannot. If I would have stayed outside the box, I wouldn't need that abortion, now would I? The Flannery Buchanan Funeral Center, which operates 17 locations in the greater Indianapolis area, hosts about 500 non-funeral events annually, according to owner and chief executive Bruce Buchanan. Weddings are a focus, but there's no particular limit to what the company will do. Probably the biggest event we did was a jazz concert that ran over 2 days. I would think it should be the blues. In some ways, the trend is... It's really an outgrowth of funeral homes adding event spaces in recent years as a way to better accommodate those planning memorial services, says Brian Hightower, president of the National Funeral Directors Association. The biggest event we did was a jazz... Oh, I read that. Why are you repeating it twice? I don't know. Why'd you put it in italics later in the story? Hightower and others in the industry say funeral homes realized that families were increasingly frustrated having to coordinate separate events, meaning your funeral service, a burial, and a gathering at a restaurant in the same day. I get that. Makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, I do get that, and I had to arrange one. But let me tell you something. I'm not like, well, let's go back to the funeral home. No, we're going to a nice restaurant. You're getting away from that. You know, it's a time to just get away. Everybody's frazzled. Let's just go out. Let's have a meal. Let's have a couple of drinks.
But
we don't go back to the funeral.
But
you
know? No. But think about this. We could really help alleviate traffic if we didn't have those damn funeral processions. If it was just one stop dropping. You know, we just do it all in one spot. What? No.
What, with a slide?
No. You have the service, you have the cemetery, and you have the repast after, like, all one fucking place. Now you're not holding up traffic with your fakakta lights on. Now, you know,
I am not eating where Uncle Fred has just been propped up in a box.
I want to get away from that.
You know what?
Place
you know what?
About.
You know what?
I want to go to a restaurant and have some
Listen,
drinks.
Stop it.
Yeah.
And stop it.
We've all had a rough day.
Stop it. Stop. I love you too. You guys are just like me. None of us are turning down a meal. So fucking stop. Stop.
But it's got to be a way for where.
Stop it. You'll be fine.
Just at the open
box. You're not eating. They're not having a smorgasbord graveside. We have a nice facility. It's not deviled eggs right by where he's going to see Satan. Relax.
No, don't they just close the coffin and put the platters on top?
Well, we would save time. I mean, that's the economy service. Yeah, and you know the drinks are just fucking hose.
Oh, God.
Yeah, ask the great grave diggers. Hey, can you guys keep it down over here?
Oh my God, yeah, we're eating over
here. We're eating over here. A little class. Grandma wouldn't want all this hubbaloo. I would try to have a nice fucking club sandwich. What's wrong with you? Fucking animals.
Mayo on the corpse. Now he's got to go in front of God with fucking mayo on his lapel.
Sure.
What's that?
But think about graveside. Think about graveside dining.
Graveside dining.
Hear me out on this.
No.
So many people. When they go to a restaurant, they say, I want to sit by the window. I want to see the scenery. I got to tell you, you go to a nice cemetery, there's lovely flowers all over the place. Everybody has a window seat. We can all see the flowers in it. What? No? I think it's nice.
No, can I get a table closer to the casket?
A rose to put in the casket. Now you got to ask people if they want Italian or American heroes. No.
It's like,
would you like Russian or Italian dressing? Well, Grandma was French, so I think I should have French dressing.
Okay, dude, here you go. Now, we're going to a restaurant. Everybody get in the car afterwards.
It's like, it used to be smoking or non-smoking. Now it's open or closed.
Open or closed, sure.
Yeah.
No. Terrible.
You guys aren't turning down on meal. I don't give a shit what you say.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
You only graveside. Listen. Listen. If I have grandma's meatballs in honor of burying grandma graveside, you're going to fucking stay and have a nosh. So fucking slow down.
I'm not saying I won't.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I don't want you guys lying to the audience. I know you both too well. And I'm including myself in this.
Of course.
None of us are turning down a meal.
You're having, it's a long, traumatic day. If from the service to the burial, it's a long, traumatic
right.
day.
I agree.
You need to go somewhere off.
No. You know what,
so
Joe?
Fuck
no.
Out.
In this fragile state of mind, none of us should be driving. You know what? You know what? I stand by. We should build a fucking hotel there, too.
Oh, let's stay closer to the dead body.
People are flying in because it'd be so much easier for people to fly in. Again, if it's one-stop shopping, you have the service, you have the burial, you have a meal, you go to bed.
Look, I'll splurge for a cab. God damn it, get me out of here.
No, okay, it's one thing if you live by, but say somebody dies in fucking Jacksonville. Somebody dies in Jacksonville, Florida. You're not going to go now. Now you have to arrange a hotel. Yeah, you have to do all.
I'm not staying upstairs in the funeral home.
No, a separate building on the complex.
No,
and we have a
no,
death complex.
I'm not staying in a death complex.
Wait a second.
Listen, hold on. Again. Stop it. I and you have stayed in horrifying death complexes. We call them shitty motels.
Yeah, you know what? I'd rather stay in that room in Flint. Than a death complex.
There's more chance of you meeting somebody freshly dead at that hotel in Flint than you will at my lovely death complex.
Wait.
Don't get me wrong. That Flint, I wanted to cry after day two there. However, being said, I'd rather stay there than the death complex. I'd rather dodge the gun.
I'm not going to call it the death complex. I'm calling it Shady Acres Sleep Hotel.
Call it whatever you want. It's a death complex.
You know what?
Death complex.
You know, whatever. Because you guys have no respect. No respect.
I have had a vision. A beautiful vision. Of a 5-acre property that I've just recently become aware of, and a big building on that property.
Well, there's an incinerator there.
And large,
we can arrange that.
Rooms to accommodate a lovely stay.
No, you go there, I'm putting you in the incinerator. That's where your story ends.
Now, you know what, though? If you gave me a choice between that joint and the death complex, what's the address for the death complex?
You know, you guys have no vision.
You know what? I know why the bridge is out, because you'll just get more customers.
All right, let's continue with this. But once the event spaces were up and running, it became obvious to home operators that the rooms could function in other ways. Sure, you don't want that space to go to waste. But not every funeral home has found the idea makes sense. The community said, nice venue, but we don't think we want a baby shower at a funeral home, said Nancy Brunner Sandin, a partner at Brunner Sandin Dietrich Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Mentor, Ohio. Put that shit on a business card.
Surprise the expectant mother. Her baby shower at the funeral home.
Well, you played dead when you got knocked up, so I might as well.
Nan's got a point. Nancy, you got a point.
Sanders said that her company makes good use of its catering facility for memorial events, but its attempts at hosting weddings, birthday parties, and yes, baby showers haven't proved as successful. Hosting a comedy show at a funeral home may be pushing the idea to an even greater extreme, but that doesn't even seem to faze the comics who are participating. Elise DeLucci, a veteran stand-up specialist. What the fuck is that?
What does that mean?
Unfunny. That's what that means. I don't know. I don't know what that means, but if you call yourself a stand-up specialist.
Stand-up specialist. In what? Funeral homes?
We knew one of those. I think her name was Peggy.
Shots fired.
Oh.
Shots fired. My mentor. How dare you?
No.
Bobby Gonzo is my real mentor. That is my real mentor. He's the one who taught me. I stand by that. Anyway. No, he did.
Yeah!
He did. My first year, man. I fucking picked his brain.
Oh, I know. I believe it.
Made me the comic Peggy made wanted me not to be. Anyway, Elise DeLucci, the veteran stand-up. I'm no Mickey. Anyway, the veteran stand-up specialist, that was for Pip, who is coordinating appearing at the Campbell Show, says, comics are accustomed to finding work where they can get it. Sure we are. Plus, the pandemic has only prompted many in the comedy community to be more creative in finding opportunities. In the end, she notes, it's the laughter generated that counts, not the venue, be it a club or funeral chapel. A room is a room. Nay, nay. A room is not a room. I do think, all joking aside, it's a little inappropriate. I know they're having it in a separate space. Now, listen, I think it's inappropriate when I'm doing temple gigs and I'm performing in front of the Bema, which is where they hold the Torah, the Bible, or church gigs, and I look behind me and there's Jesus hanging out on a 2x4. I think that shit's inappropriate, too. I don't put those together. If you ask me to do the gig, I'll do the gig. I'll do the...
if you're paying me.
Yeah, if you're paying... I got a gig at a funeral home. All right, I'll do it for the story. I'm not doing it for the resume builder.
No!
I mean, 20 years in. I mean, I love Ellen. But 20 years in, you're putting that in the resume? That makes me think you're desperate. I don't have a calling for people who perform in funeral homes.
What I want to know is if they're having new in the show the same night there's a funeral in another room, you know, and you're emceeing and the guy that's running the cuz, all right, you're going to go up, you're going to do 10. Bring the headliner up, go to room B, do a eulogy. Make it quick because you got to bring the headliner on in 15.
Yeah. Working two gigs. Headliner. You would take the gig, though, Joe. I know you would.
Oh, absolutely. I still did the MC thing. Bill was a fine guy. Well, I'm going to leave you with this.
Hey, is anybody celebrating anything tonight? Ooh, sorry. Oh.
Yes, it's actually our anniversary.
I'm dying up here. Not over in that room. Up here. It's okay. I'm dying. Don't bury. Back off.
He killed. Oh, not him.
I mean, if you're doing that gig, you got to have those jokes.
Oh,
those jokes.
Yeah.
I'm doing the gig. I'm telling the story about that gig on this show.
Oh yeah.
I'm not bragging about the gig. It's not a brag.
No, we're all doing the gig. Nobody's not doing the gig.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
no.
But the story goes, get a load of this. So I got a call from such and such agency. Did you turn them down? Nah, it's a couple bills. 15 minutes, it's close to the house. Well, why am I? I'll fucking do it. But I'm not going to go.
You know, Ellen, we should ask her who booked it.
No, because she's way too excited about this shit. You can't be excited about this gig. You're the only. It's like doing the nudist colony. You're doing the show because you're doing it for the fucking story. I have a career of doing shows for the story. They don't make the resume.
Right.
No, but God, there's some great times where it's like you just continue going on because you can't believe what's happening to you. So you're like, this is going to be a great story later.
Yeah.
This is going to be a great story later.
I made a career out of it. All right. So we all agree we would take the gig. A little inappropriate. You don't brag about the gig.
No.
But a gig's a gig. A gig's a gig.
Well, listen, that's why a gig's a gig's a gig, but then fucking eat, stay for a while, have a nosh, and stay at the hotel. What? Are we giving you a meal and a room? Yeah, Joey's jumping at that gig.
Not if it's all in the same room.
And we're giving you 10% off plots. Anything off the comic death menu.
Hey, you want to know something? The funeral chapel is not set up any different than a banquet room at a hotel.
True.
That's right.
Isn't, if you think about it.
That's what they're saying. I just think it's a little inappropriate. I understand they're thinking, well, we got the space, and we just don't get enough business. To me, too many people are living, damn it. All right. Let's do a little Nazi news. Let's lighten it up.
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
Alrighty here. Adolf Hitler had a complicated, kinky sex life with voyeurism, sadomasochism, porn addiction, and even incest, the new documentary series claims.
You don't say.
I do, and I'm about to. The private sex life of the German dictator whose Nazi regime murdered 6 million Jews during the Holocaust also included urine play. Despite what a fucking sentence. I bet somebody never thought they were going to have to write that. 6 million Jews and urine play. That's one hell of a conjunction.
4 years of journalism school.
6 million dead Jews and urine play.
God.
That sounds like the worst improv game ever. All right. Give me two things. Give me two topics. Atrocity is the war. 6 million dead Jews. Something kinky. Urine play. All right, here's the scene.
It's terrible.
Yes, we've grown over that. Oh.
Yeah.
So I'm pissing on the Jews. I'm pissing. What, no?
No? No.
I'm doing an improv act now. We're having fun.
Yeah, no.
No?
We're not.
We're not having fun?
No, not with that.
No, it was written in a fun way.
Too soon.
Too soon? All right. No. I don't hear them complaining. Anyways,
oh, yeah.
All right. That regime murdered 6 million Jews during the Holocaust, also included urine play, despite the fact that he publicly shunned sex, according to Hitler's sex life, which begins airing Sunday on Sky History. Never heard of Sky History. The four-episode series delves into claims that Hitler's personal doctor gave him amphetamines and bull semen to ramp up his sexual drive. The old bull semen. Give him the high, hard one. And examines the incestuous relationship he allegedly...
After the high Hitler.
Give him the high Hitler hard one.
Oh, no.
No bull. No, really. And examines the incestuous relationship he allegedly had with his niece, Jilly Raubal, the Sun report. In 1925, Raubal, then 17, began living with Hitler along with her mother, Angela, who worked as the Führer's housekeeper. He then became obsessed with the teen, 19 years his junior, and the pair started a 6-year sexual relationship that included having her urinate on him, the documentary claims. What? Why are you bad? People like that.
Go on.
People like to
Don't mind me.
People like to be debased.
I
you know what? I get it. You know what? Here's what I get. Everybody's kissing.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pip. Are you upset about one of the most horrible human beings ever created on Earth being pissed on?
No, actually, I embrace people pissing on him.
I don't feel you
I
do.
Just am like, I'm horrified that anybody likes this.
Here's a sentence.
I get your point.
Here's
Joe.
A sentence I never thought I'd say. Let me take Hitler's side here.
Wow! Okay. I'm bracing myself.
That's what you should. Everybody's kissing your ass. You're der Fuhrer. You're the greatest. You're the best. You're so pure. You're even a good artist. And your mustache looks really fucking good. You know, everybody's kissing your tuchus, which is a word you can't say in his regime. But everybody's kissing your butt.
Right.
You need something to bring you down. You're like, oh, it's too much. I need to be debased. I need to be grounded. Furline, come here. How about you take a little spritz on me?
Actually, you have a really valid point.
Of course I do. Of course I do. I don't talk about these things lightly. I'm talking about psychology, baby. And I took Hitler's side, and now you're on Hitler's side.
I am not on Hitler's side.
You're on Hitler's side. You're on Hitler's side on this one.
No, but dominatrix usually have, not usually, but they often have clients that are very powerful men, and behind closed doors they want to be debased.
Yeah,
it's I don't get it. I don't get
it. Apparently, the Fuhrer was one of them.
Yeah.
Well, you don't get it because you were never the Fuhrer. German defector Otto Strasser had claimed Hitler liked the extremely disgusting sex act and said Robo told him she was forced to take on the role, according to the piss on me. I can't. Drink some water, piss on me.
Piss on me. Okay. Say yabor.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Say yabor. Piss on the Fuhrer's face.
You know what I would say if I didn't like it, if I wanted to play this game? Fine, I'll piss on you, but you have to go into one of those showers.
And oh, jeez.
What, no?
Right. No.
Some 6 years later, in 1931, Rauball, 23, was found dead from a gunshot wound to the chest in Hitler's Munich apartment after having a conversation with Strasser about being made to squat over the dictator's face and urinate, getting him sexually aroused, the documentary claimed. Squat! Squat! I get it. Now, I'm not saying Donald Trump is Hitler. I'm not saying that. But his ex-wife, Ivana, said that he had a copy of Mein Kampf, Donald Trump did, by his bedside.
Mm-hmm.
The rumor was, again, we don't know if it's true or not, but the rumor was Donald Trump had two Russian hookers pee on him.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, if you wanted to make that tie-in, you could. I'm not saying it's there. I'm just letting your imaginations run wild.
Are you saying that he wanted to join the Nazi party?
Pip! Pip Helix.
There's the line.
Look at that. You know, Joe thought he was the punniest comic on the show, but there was Pip with the pun of all puns.
Hello.
Well played, Queenie.
Take a victory lap here.
Oh, boy. What are you doing? You know, I always knew Nazis would bring out the best in Pip.
Oh, God.
Rauball's death was officially ruled a suicide, but some historians believe she was murdered and that Nazis destroyed files on a second investigation into her death. They couldn't flush it. The four-part series also examined Hitler's relationship with girlfriend Eva Braun, whom he married on the eve of their joint 1945 suicide. Talk about a shitty honeymoon.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Yeah, really.
And the German film actress Renata Mueller, who reportedly fell to her death after the pair had a sadomasochistic sex.
Mueller.
Oh. Mueller.
Mueller.
Oopsie daisy. Oopsie daisy. Little Urkel. Did I do that?
Oh, I loved he did it.
Fun and games between Hitler and his women.
Oh, this is terrible.
These bitches be crazy.
Yeah.
One historian told The Sun that the alleged private S&M sex life fit perfectly with Hitler's tyrannical personality, see? Mm-hmm. On the one hand, he put himself forward as this master, this dominating character who walked around with a whip and loved all the uniforms. The uniforms are pretty bitching. Which is the sadist side. Australian historian and forensic psychiatrist Robert Kaplan said, but the other side of sadomasochism is to be humiliated.
Mm.
Hitler internalized everything he didn't like, Kaplan insisted. Like Jews. He had Jews on the inside. And gypsies and gays, too. And yes. Catholics. They're all inside Hitler.
Yes.
Hitler's Voltron. It's quite feasible that somebody like that would have these sexual practices, Kaplan continued. Sure, you take over Poland, you want somebody to piss on you. I get it. It's all in a fucking day's work. What, no? No?
Well, apparently, yes. Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
You bomb England, you want somebody to spank you on the tushy. I get it. I'm a bad boy. I'm a bad little Fuhrer.
Who's a bad Fuhrer?
Well, see, I can even get behind a little bit of the spanky, but the urine and scat. I can't.
Mueller
trying to have kinky sex and his police dogs outside the door scratching on it. Stay dead.
Mueller reportedly began spending time with Hitler after being introduced to him by film director Alfred Zeisler. She later told Zeisler that she kicked Hitler as he lay on the floor at his request, causing him to get visibly aroused, according to the documentary. Now, I will tell you, there would be a long line for that activity.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't care if he gets a hard one. I want to fucking kick this motherfucker.
I'm taking several of the tickets at that deli counter. Can I?
What would you pay to kick Hitler as he jerked off?
he had to say that. You know how many people want to kick me and you'll get to do it?
That's the line. There's his line. It's his pickup line.
Would you like to kick me later?
Even if Roosevelt wanted to kick me, he could not.
Mueller. This is one kinky motherfucker.
Really?
All of a sudden, the Japanese with their fetish for underwear and fucking vending machines isn't so much. What? Scratch and sniff. Mueller later fell to her death in October 1937 while being visited by Nazi authorities. Hello! Nazi authorities! Nazis calling! Is the fur line of the house home? We'd like to talk to you. We have an authority. You kicked the Fuhrer in the nads.
No solicitors! That's what the sign outside said.
It's unclear if she jumped or was shoved, the son said. I think you can say quite reasonably that Hitler had a sadomasochistic personality, so mass murder came instinctively to him. Okay, that's quite the instinct he's got there.
Yeah.
The four episodes titled X-Rated, Body Image, Family Matters, Urkel's Back, Baby! And Suicidal Maidens.
By the way,
Suicidal Maidens show, great name for your next band if you join another one.
Ooh,
yeah, that's a great name.
Yeah, that's great.
Suicidal Maidens.
Yeah. It's a combination between suicidal tendencies and Iron Maiden. You can't go wrong. That's a that's a great name. There is no shortage of experts on Hitler's sex life who consider the Fuhrer predictions to be a barometer of the dictator's twisted psyche. Sky's website reads, each episode will address a specific time period of Hitler's alleged unproven sex life and explores the role it played in shaping Hitler's behavior. I gotta say, four episodes is a lot.
That is a lot.
Couldn't we do that in one hour special?
Yeah, you absolutely could, but they really want to dig into the dirty nasty.
They really want to milk Hitler.
Yeah,
that's not something you hear every day. I want to milk Hitler.
It seems like I don't like. I feel like I would watch it, but I feel like I'd feel dirty watching.
Yes,
it. Like I feel like after watching it, I would need somebody to urinate on me. Just yeah. No, too much.
No. Wear a drop cloth.
There was one documentary on Hitler or whatever, and I was watching it, and he was so nasty. I'm like, this guy's a prick, and I'm like, oh, that's it, because he's Hitler.
Why would anybody follow him?
To live.
Joe's like, I don't see the attraction at all.
I it's the kind of thing, like, our television faces outside. And
sure, so the hobos and deer can watch.
You, absolutely. But I'm like, I would really have to draw the curtains to watch this show. I don't want neighbors.
But New York Kelly doesn't seem that bad.
I don't want like the neighborhood dog walkers walking by and going, what the fuck? You know? That's terrible.
Honey, this is the part where Hitler gets peed on.
Yeah, look at, what are they watching? What the hell?
It doesn't really surprise me, though.
That I went and watched
Hitler
get...
No, that Hitler might have been this kind of kink in, you know...
No, listen, that's not surprising.
You know, some people say this is very healthy. Depends on your... view on deviant sexuality behavior, I guess.
You know what? And it's like, you, whoever, I mean, I really don't want to think about Hitler having any kind of sex whatsoever. But I mean, I just feel like whatever you're doing, as long as it's consenting adults, you go for yours. I do not want to be peed on.
No, but I would
pee on anyone.
I would pee on Hitler, and I would kick Hitler. I feel like if he could have gotten over the whole Jew thing, me and Hitler might have had a good relationship. But no.
I think just one of his generals trying to get him. Mein Führer, I think he has the faucet running. Mein Führer.
The faucet's running. She has stage fright, so he turns on the faucet.
Because she had
Schnell.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Let's cleanse the palate, shall we?
Yes.
So to answer William Sanchez's question, that's why we're talking about Hitler.
I
hope we made it perfectly clear. All right. On the break, we have new music from Chris Wenner with Lover for Lover and Randy Stevens with The Devil's in the Details. You can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. When we come back, scamming.